Hey everyone, and welcome back to Scorncast, the official podcast of the Pop Scorn Movie Blog, which you can visit at scornpop.blogspot.com. This is your host Jasper, Ghostface Milla is here, and on this episode we're talking about The Hunger Games, a thriller based on Suzanne Collins' bestseller about a dystopian future society, where a girl named Katniss Everdeen enters a child deathmatch reality show to save the life of her little sister. Oscar nominee Jennifer Lawrence plays the lead role, so right away I know what you're thinking. When in the book did it say that Katniss was white?
I'm fine. I am.
Listen to me. You're stronger than they are. You are. Get to a bow.
They may not have...
Well, if you show them how good you are. They just want a good show. That's all they want. If they don't have a bow, then you make one, okay? You know how to hunt.
It's 24 of a scale. Only one comes out.
Yeah. And it's gonna be you.
Okay.
Take care of them, Gil. Whatever you do, don't let them starve.
Let's go.
I'll see you soon, okay?
So, Ghostface, as tempting as it is to do kind of a Peter Travers thing and ask you how hungry you are for more Hunger Games, I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to do is start this episode of Scorncast off kind of the same way that we did our Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 Scorncast, where I set it up as you being a property fan and me being like a casual observer. But I guess it's even different in this case, since this is the very first movie being made out of the Hunger Games book series. And we had, what, like 7 previous movies in the Harry Potter series to go on before we saw Deathly Hallows. So I'm approaching this as kind of a total newbie. Or noob, is that right?
I think noob is what the kids are saying these days.
Okay, not a kid. And a good thing, too, because then I'd be entered in this whole death match. It would be awful. But yeah, I wanted to ask you, as somebody who is a fan of the property, is that, well, first of all, is that accurate? Is that an accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. I've read all the books. I mean, I was an early adopter, like some of my friends were and stuff, but I read them all. And I'm a big fan of the books and the characters and the story and the themes and stuff overall.
So I feel like there's a but coming.
Yeah, but, well, to answer your question, I think where you're leading me is how did I feel about the movie?
Yes.
You know, having read the books, I think it was a very literal translation. They could have taken sort of more liberties with some of the things that they did. I think it was literally like, here's the sequential main points of the book. Let's put them in order and let's shoot them. You know, like, it didn't really have a lot of life in it. And I think it was probably, even for me, having read the books, I think they didn't really set up the story in a way that was visually understandable for an audience not familiar with this. But like, you tell me, could you follow this story?
I mean, I will say up front, I liked this movie. I do have a lot of stuff to say about it that's more on the scorny side of Scorncast. So I'm almost afraid that my grade for this is going to not make sense at all. Because, like I said, I like this movie, but I have a lot of problems with it. But I think the main thing that I would say about it is that, like, it works on a base level and doesn't really do much beyond that.
Definitely.
I'm going to pitch this to you for the plot synopsis, since you're somebody who knows a lot more about this property than I do. So just, like, overall, set this up. Like, what is the general idea behind this?
So The Hunger Games takes place in the future, and there's been sort of, like, uprising, and then the government has kind of, like, come down on everyone, and, you know, they've kind of, like, squashed the revolution, and now every year to sort of, like, celebrate and also remind the people that the government is in control, they have these things called the Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. And you have to be, I think, like ages 12 to 18 or something. So you have to be like a kid, basically. And some kids are sort of raised to do this. They're in districts that are closer to the capital. So they're called like careers, like their career tributes. They will always sort of be in this. They'll volunteer themselves if anyone else gets picked, which is what Katniss, the main character, ends up doing in lieu of her sister. They live in District 12, which is like this mining district. So Katniss sort of like raises her family. Like, her mom is kind of like out of it ever since her dad died. And her sister is just like, you know, her little sister. So she'll like sneak out of the district and like go hunting. And she meets up with her friend who's also like kind of savvy with like hunting and like being, you know, survival-y and stuff. So they kind of have their own little life there, but then Katniss gets pulled into the games because her sister's name gets pulled, this other kid gets pulled, and they have to, like, battle to the death with all these other kids. The winner, there can only be one winner, and that winner gets, like, food, like, rations galore for, like, the whole year. They get to live in this really nice house in their district. I think, like, their town gets, like, a bunch of celebrations because, like, they're winning from that district. So they get, like, lots of food and parties and stuff. But basically it just, like, goes haywire, and she sort of, like, rebels against the games with these, like, berries. I don't know. Those berries are, like, such a bigger deal in the in the books.
Well, already, I feel like you've made this sound so much more interesting than what we got on screen.
That's what I'm saying. It was very surface. They could have hinted at these things, or maybe, like, a better director could have hinted at these things with just, like, a more cinematic approach to this material. Like, it was very literal.
I think I just now realized that we're not even really told what the winner gets out of all this. Like, I mean, yeah, obviously they get to live. That's, I guess, the primary benefit of winning the Hunger Games. But the whole thing about the celebrations, about living in a nice house, food rations galore, I guess these are all things that I could assume, but I don't remember that they're ever explicitly said in the film.
And I think even that stuff in the books, it's sort of painted as, like, is that really a reward? Like, everyone around you is sort of, like, dead. Even, like, the person that is from your district that you went with, like, mm-hmm. every district sends one boy and one girl. So it's still kind of, like, it's not really a reward. It's just, like, a constant reminder that, like, you killed people, you know, or whatever. And even, like, the Woody Harrelson character, he won, you know, a really long time ago, and he, like, can't deal with the fact that he, like, won the games. And he, like, drinks, like, a lot, and he's, like, established actually at the Reaping, where they pick the names in the book, and he, like, makes, like, a fool out of himself, and then he's sort of established as this really sad, drunk character who's kind of, like, can't get over his, you know, young past or whatever. And I feel like he didn't even come across like that at all.
No, not at all, actually.
And it's not that he's, like, the butt of the joke. He still has some very serious biting parts, which is, I think, what Woody Harrelson portrayed, which is good. I think if you're going to portray anything from that character, that's kind of the crux of it. But there's a depth of all these people around her. Even the Elizabeth Banks character, Effie Trinket, I don't even know if they said her name.
I knew going into this movie the basic idea of what this was, and I knew a couple character names just from hearing people I know talk about the books. And the names in this series are all, like, Dickens on acid. But I think I knew her name going in. I don't know that they ever said it, actually. I couldn't tell you.
Not to say it was lazy, I think it was just rushed. I think overall, probably the whole production of the film was rushed, but I think the pacing of it seemed a bit off for me. Like, there was parts that they dwelled on that I don't think really, like, helped tell the story, and then there were parts that they rushed that I just felt like needed more. Like, this whole romantic sort of element with, like, Katniss and Peeta, and, you know, they're from the same district, and he, like, says, I think, during the interview scene that he has, like, liked her the whole time. And that's, like, a really, really big deal because she doesn't know that. And it sort of, like, changes the way they play the game, and that the fact that they didn't get sponsors. And I don't even think they go into sponsors, really. The Capitol in particular has a lot more details that they kind of glossed over. I can only compare this to Harry Potter, and I feel like that does it a disservice because it is different, mm-hmm. but just in the way that it's, like, you know, book to film translation, and they're both kind of, like, young adult and stuff, and, you know, sort of in, like, a fantasy world. Not that Hunger Games or the series has any sort of, like, fantasy elements. It's mostly, like, science fiction-y kind of, but all I could think of was, you know, how Alfonso Cuarón would, like, direct Prisoner of Azkaban, and I shouldn't compare it to this, but he would have details, you know, so if you read it, you would pick it up, and if you didn't, you would get it after, like, the second or third time you watched it. But then he would also add other things that kind of, like, helped tell the story, like, just more visually, and, like, just, like, what's fitting for a movie as opposed to a book. Like, sorry, I'm rambling now, but...
You have a lot of feelings about this.
I do. Okay, so forget a lot of the stuff that I said. Let me just say this, okay? What I hate about, you know, movies like this, when they try to, like, make a book into a movie, especially when the book is about, you know, the first person.
That was actually a question I had for you. This book is told in first person narrative, yeah. Like, through Katniss, right?
Yeah, and I think that a lot of that stuff is kind of lost because, like, yeah. And I didn't want her to narrate. I'm glad she didn't narrate.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
But I think in some cases they almost could have, like, not necessarily invented a character so that she can kind of explain this world and explain how she's feeling. But I wish they did sort of give her some outlet for that.
Yeah.
Not to say there was chances for them, but I feel like they could have inserted some of that stuff just to add to it. I mean, I think people were really talking to Jennifer Lawrence and her performance, and I do think she was really good, but I think there's more to that character than what we got to see.
Yeah, I was kind of left ambivalent to the major characters in this movie. I mean, I liked them on the basis that the performances were good. I thought this was like a well-performed movie. I might be warming up a little bit more to Jennifer Lawrence than I did in X-Men First Class. But yeah, she's the reason that I cared about this Katniss person, because there wasn't really a whole lot to this character on screen. That's why I assumed that it was a first-person narrative in the book. I wasn't entirely sure. And the movie sort of sticks so closely to her experience and following her through this journey, it doesn't really cut away too much. And when it does, it's to things that I wondered why they were bothering cutting away to, and why we weren't cutting away to other things that I felt would have enhanced the experience. But I'm going to try to be nice for at least like 5 minutes and say things that I did like about this movie, and maybe you'll agree with me. You talked about Woody Harrelson, who plays her mentor. She's, you know, selected to be in this competition. He's the guy who won, what, a couple decades before, I guess?
Yeah, I think it was like maybe 20 years ago or something, I don't know.
And the way you're describing this character in the book, it seems so much more interesting than it is in the movie, but I would say that Woody Harrelson is very memorable in kind of a stock role. He's, you know, Katniss's crusty but supportive mentor, which is sort of a trope, but I think he's one of those actors who just by proxy makes whatever he's doing feel fresh. And overall, as an actor, I feel like in the past 5 years or so, Woody Harrelson has kind of become like a Viola Davis for me, just somebody who makes me happy just by showing up in a film.
Just by seeing him there, I'm like, okay, this will be good.
Yeah, yeah. Like when he makes his entrance drunk, you're like, all right, you know, I kind of know everything that I need to know about this character right here in this moment, but Woody Harrelson is going to sell it. The other performance that I really liked in this movie was actually Elizabeth Banks as Effie Trinket. I think my favorite moments in this movie initially were at the reaping, where they draw the names to see who among all the children in this district will be selected for the Hunger Games. But the shot of her walking through this completely drab and dingy, like poverty level town that looks like a fundamentalist Mormon commune by way of Children of the Corn or something.
Yeah, right.
And she's wearing this insane dress, hair, makeup combo. It looks like Kabuki Vampire Week on Project Runway.
Right,
she's grotesque enough in appearance just by herself, but there's that additional viewpoint of putting her in this location where she sticks out like a sore thumb. And on top of this, and I think why she comes off as weirdly charming, is that she's so oblivious to this entire situation, like how grave it is, how disturbing it is, how sad it is. She's there to like pump up the crowd, and the crowd is full of children who, if their name is called, they will probably die. That moment I thought was so interesting, and I like the setup of this world a lot. There are 12 districts, is that correct?
Yeah, there's 12, yeah.
So people, two children from each district are selected, and there's 24 contestants in this fight to the death.
Yep.
They yank all these children out and sort of take them on kind of a publicity tour kind of deal, where they're on this television show. And basically, I guess the gist of it is that people in the Capitol, this is a huge deal for them. It's sort of like how I watch the show Survivor. And yes, I still watch Survivor. But that's what, I guess, the base appeal of this movie was to me. I think this is a really good hook for something to pull you in. So, you know, even if the movie doesn't necessarily work beyond the hook is still there. That's why I liked this movie from beginning to end, even though I had all these problems with it. The first half of the movie is the reaping, where the kids are selected. It follows Katniss on this like journey of through the Capitol. She's on this talk show with this really grotesque, we're going to use the word grotesque a lot, probably, host played by Stanley Tucci, who's pretty funny.
No offense to this movie and the costuming, but it should have been way more. Like,
really?
Actually, people in the Capitol like have altered their face and like added things to it. Some people have added horns.
Oh.
Some people have added like cheek implants and like weird ears. Some people have like tiger stripes and stuff. Like, these people should have been like dyed different colors and like looked more out there. I think they really played it safe with like a lot of the stuff they did.
Oh, that's interesting. I guess what we could tell people is that as it is in this movie, the people in the Capitol kind of look like how Falco looks halfway through his video for Rock Me Amadeus. Any 80s music video, really. You can just like pull people out of it.
Look like that. Adam Ant a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I liked the juxtaposition of like the Capitol with the districts. I thought all that stuff was very interesting. And then once the Hunger Games actually take over in, I guess, what is the second hour of this movie, which is, it's a long movie. This is a 2.5 hour movie. I had more problems with those scenes, but overall, the hook of the situation was what kind of got me through it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought those were some of the better scenes. Like, either when they were prepping for the games or just like the lead up into the games. I mean, that's some of the more exciting stuff about the books. And they sort of continue that throughout. I don't want to give anything away, but the whole like kind of reality show aspect to it really continues. It's such an important part of all this stuff, you know? If you think about the 1% and the 99% and like the Occupy Wall Street people like putting out their own newspaper and like how it's like on TV and stuff and how that influences people. There's actually more of that in the books of just like how people have to watch this. Like it's the only thing on. Everyone goes to the square to watch it, like even if they don't really want to. But they are interested in it because it is like, you know, it's insane that you're like making these kids fight. But yeah, I thought the arena stuff when they were actually fighting, it was like, couldn't even really tell what was going on. And the shaky cam was like a bit much.
Yeah.
And the editing was off. It was just kind of like neutered. It felt really frenetic, but it was also like very sort of bland.
Yeah, I guess we'll move on to the scorn portion now because you're bringing up all the things that really kind of ruffled my feathers about this movie. I have a lot of feathers about the handheld camera stuff. I'm sick of it, honestly. I don't know why in the initial scenes in this movie, especially when it's just observing Katniss in her district, everything is very calm and quiet. There's shots of her walking through a field and like jumping over a fence. It's like the cameraman is drunk.
Yeah.
And in the actual sequences where the kids are fighting in the Hunger Games, it feels like a crutch, honestly. Yep. I thought the violence needed to be much more brutal. These are children killing each other. I'm aware this is a young adult property, but you know, the reality of this movie is that people are watching this event on television. They're enjoying it. They're betting on it. And what they're enjoying and betting on is children being forced to murder each other. Right. And they're not seeing these murders unfold in these tight handheld camera shots that are moving all over the place to help conceal the violence. They're watching this stuff happen explicitly. I thought that aspect of it was really disingenuous, and it muted kind of like the gut punch effect that watching something like that play out in like a wide shot really could have had.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I was looking forward to them showing more of kind of the behind the scenes. They showed some of that stuff, but like showing it on screen, showing the wide shots, showing like a longer clip of people watching it on TV, I think would have been like a better way for the audience to experience it too sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people standing in a square and just like, you know, silence, and you're just watching what's going on in the Hunger Games. I was like really hoping they would do something more like that. Or even like a more of a subjective camera for Katniss, you know, to kind of show her paranoia and her like survival of the fittest kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that wasn't even really there either. I mean, I don't want to say this, but I feel that this is like, for lack of a better phrase, like there wasn't really a sense of danger for me. Like I know it was dangerous and stuff, but it felt so safe.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I would have liked to have seen more cutaways to the Capitol after the Hunger Games start. We do get a couple cutaways to people watching the Hunger Games on television, but it's all district people. You know, why not show people watching this in the Capitol, digesting this, like, ravenously? And then, as, you know, a juxtaposition, show people watching it in the districts. And you have people that are, you know, probably squeeing watching these kids murder each other.
To your point about, like, showing the Capitol, like, they showed them in, you know, sort of the opening ceremony and the interview with Caesar Flickerman or whatever, Stanley Tucci. You should have been seeing them, like, eating it up. Like, people in the Capitol are so separate from this. Even her team, I feel like they didn't even really show the people that, like, directly worked on her because they sort of, like, are so giddy with excitement and they're talking about it. And it's like when the Olympics come on, you know? Like, for them, it doesn't affect their world at all. It's purely a spectator sport. And they, like, eat it up, like, exactly what you're saying. And that's such an important point to make, and it would have been such a creepier thing to show than like poorly shot action or like people getting killed with a spear, but like you don't actually ever really see the spear.
You see somebody getting ready to throw the spear, the camera moves around a lot, and then there's like a child face down on the ground with like the spear in his back is basically how this movie shoots things. It's very, very weird. I also didn't really understand the lengths to which the game makers, who are sort of personified by this Wes Bentley character named Seneca Crane, like all these people have crazy names, but the lengths to which the game makers could essentially like kill the contestants themselves, I guess. There's a scene where Katniss's strategy kind of ruffles the feathers of the people that are controlling everything, and I'm assuming what her strategy is, since we don't get the first person narrative necessarily, is that she's just going to sort of use her survival skills and just try to stay alive as long as possible without actually killing anyone, and maybe the elements will get to everybody else. Is that kind of what she's there to do?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. She was going to stay high and stay out of trouble, try to find food, and, you know, unless she had a weapon, she wasn't going to try to kill anyone.
Okay,
but if she could find a bow, she was like, yeah, I'm going to take these people out.
Because in the movie, I kind of got the feeling that she was more of a pacifist than she was, maybe in the book that you're describing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she's not like, I'm going to kill some people, but she kind of understands that she might have to
kill
some people. So yeah. I feel like when you're inside her head, you see it more as her just like sort of being prepared for the inevitable, less like blood hungry. I wouldn't say she's necessarily a pacifist. Like, she's obviously against it, but she kind of accepts the reality of it.
But there's a sequence where she doesn't have any, I think, weaponry yet, and she's got knee, and she's sort of going to the edge of the arena, like the furthest point away from where everyone is killing each other, or all the people are hunting other people. And the game makers sort of contrive a way to get her back towards where the other players are that want to murder her by shooting, like, giant fireballs at her.
Well, I mean, they're kind of like producers of a TV show. So if nothing happens after a while, they have to make something happen. And in some cases, they would kill a tribute just to make sure that, like, a death has happened after a certain time. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get more of that when Katniss is talking about it, because Katniss can kind of provide background on, like, the previous Hunger Games that she's watched. You know, I mean, you're forced to watch these every year. She's, what is she, 16, I think, or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, she knows kind of how they go. She knows how the game makers are. And there's always, like, behind-the-scenes things, and they interview the game makers. And, you know, like, the people who create the show are almost as famous as the people who are in the show. But, yeah, they always bring it back. I mean, they sort of have, like, red carpet things. It's like this huge kind of Olympic award ceremony, Oscars kind of event, but it's, like, sick and twisted.
Yeah, I really want so much more of that in this movie.
I think they have more of a chance to build on that in the second one, and definitely the third one. It kind of goes in a different angle as far as, like, that. You see more of that from behind the scenes, and, you know, knowing that Katniss has already been through it. I think they really had a lot to set up with this first movie, and it didn't do them, I think, any real good to kind of spend the time where they did. Certain things, like, could have been sort of sped up or omitted. They actually did omit several characters, and the ones that they did are not really crucial to the plot, but they did sort of rearrange one specific thing, which is the Mockingjay pin, which is kind of a big deal. Katniss doesn't get it from the lady in the market. She gets it from her friend Madge, who's actually like the mayor's daughter. That's kind of a big deal because it's like a very rebellious symbol.
Well, overall, it just seemed like it was just like this cool pin that she bought and wanted to give to her sister as a symbol of protection. But I didn't get that it was like this kind of insignia of rebellion or whatever.
The Capitol, they make all these creatures, these like mutations, these mutations. One of their creations mated with like mockingbirds, and they made like mockingjays. And they're basically a sign of, like, the Capitol can make something, but then it can become something else.
Oh.
Kind of thing. So it's, like, something that the Capitol even couldn't control. Like, one of their creations made a creation. And obviously, Katniss represents sort of this thing because she's supposed to be their creation, but she sort of becomes her own thing towards the end. But, it's a much bigger deal. The fact that her stylist puts that on her shows, like, his allegiance to the 99%. Just all of those moments could have had much more power had they given the right context to this stuff, you know?
You're making me want to read the book, which is probably the best.
I mean, there's a lot there. I don't necessarily want to oversell it, but I think, you know, the first book especially sets up a lot of really just interesting themes and, like, cool things about, like, the future in this sort of dystopian environment that, like, very much relates to our world now. I think it's very relatable. You know, I don't go out and kill people, but, you know, if I had to,
.. I didn't understand the rationale behind making alliances with other tributes also. They sort of set up these evil tributes that are in this game, and I think they mention that they have done this before, and they go to a special school that teaches them how to do this kind of thing.
They're raised to do that, like, from birth. Yeah, they're like careers, and like several people will do that, and then they sort of breed them just for that.
Again, very interesting.
Yeah, right? Like, they could
not really explain
that.
Yeah.
In a way, I'm glad they didn't, because I feel like it's silly when characters explain things. Like, in this world where these rules are established, everyone knows them.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have helped to have, like, one person, even if it was, like, Katniss's sister or somebody, who could just be like, wait, what's that? Just so the audience could be in on it.
I think early on in the Hunger Games, there are four people who make an alliance. And yeah. I just, you know, that word has been thrown around since the first season of Survivor. So I was sort of delighted that, like, it came up here. I think one of the announcers, I think it was Stanley Tucci, mentions, it looks like we have an alliance here forming, which I smiled at. But yeah, they make an alliance and sort of stick together and go around hunting people down as a group, which I didn't really understand. I mean, are these people that were all in school together, I guess?
No, not, I mean, two of them at most, because they're from the same district, but the other people, they don't know each other.
I just found that sort of weird. Like, why would you make an alliance with people who want to kill you? And even if there is, like, an oath or something or an agreement between them, what is that in this game? Like, and they all camp around this tree that Katniss has climbed up to escape them. And I kept thinking, like, why doesn't one of them wake up and murder the other three?
Yeah, I feel like the only way they explain that in the book is that, like, it's so early in the game that people group together because there's enough people for them to target, and then they'll fight amongst themselves when they get to it.
Did they, though? Because it seemed like they were the only people that grouped together.
That's what Katniss thinks, is, like, the careers always group together.
Oh, okay.
They don't have, like, a wealth of personality in the books, but I think they get more sort of airtime or, you know, a little bit more depth to them.
And what was PETA's plan exactly? Because he sort of clings onto this group as, like, the fifth wheel. I didn't really get, like, what the idea was there. I guess he was going to stick with them and try to, like, find Katniss that way and then maybe help her instead of helping them.
You know, once again, the book is from Katniss's perspective, so she's really questioning his motives the entire time, especially when he tells Caesar Flickerman that he's, like, in love with her and that he always has been. It's, like, such a big deal because she's like, how dare you? You know, and she throws him up against the wall and she kind of is like, what's your game? But there's so much more of that inside her head, and that's, like, how it explodes. And then even once they get into the game, she's kind of like, what are you trying to do? Like, she doesn't understand sort of what side he's on. The whole PETA Katniss thing, there's so much more to it. And not in, like, a, oh, will they or won't they kind of thing. It is that, but it's also, like, these other, like, is he actually a bad guy? Is he faking everything, you know?
It never really worked for me on that, like, is this real? Is it a ruse? Is he just doing this to win favors so he'll be able to scrape by in this competition? It all seemed pretty genuine to me, actually. But one of the things I would say about this, you know, love triangle that happens here between her and PETA, who's played by Josh Hutcherson, and her friend back home, Liam Hemsworth, who plays Gale. Since any young adult pop cultural touchstone with a love triangle must be compared to Twilight right now, I would say after sitting through four Twilight movies, where the love triangle is so completely low stakes and uninteresting, and it occupies such a big chunk of the story, I was glad that they devoted as little time as possible to that here.
And I can just say it's like that in the book. Like, Suzanne Collins, the writer, she sort of sets it up and it starts to seem very familiar in that kind of Twilight young adult way. And I won't say it's like immediately, you know, forgotten. It still kind of comes back, but it's definitely downplayed less and less as the series goes on. You know, eventually she does choose, I'm not gonna lie, but it's not like this big revelatory choice. It's very much like, you know, I'm with this guy. And it's clear, too, like, what she's going to go with. Like, one of them kind of, like, dissolves, like, their relationship. So I liked that about the book, too. It's not really about this romance. That's definitely a part of it, and it keeps it going. But it's really about, like, this strong female character who, like, has this situation forced upon her in this, like, really fucked up world. And there's, like, all these other players and things going on. And it gets a lot deeper in the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to see, like, sort of the propaganda, like, government, you know, kind of side of things and just how just creepy and in control they are. And it, you know, it gets more like 1984, I guess, kind of, but still continues the sort of reality show obsessed celebrity culture. I mean, I highly recommend the books. You should totally read them.
Can we talk about PETA's skills with a paintbrush? Because, I mean, he should be on a reality competition that's not the Hunger Games, but, like, where people do painting, body painting, maybe. I don't know. When you see him doing it during the training, you're kind of like, all right, this is obviously going to pay off later. But, like, the extremes that it paid off with were just like, oh, okay, really, all right.
Yeah, I mean, that was his strategy. That's, I guess, what he worked on. I think in the book, and I don't know if they mentioned this in the movie, but they attribute to, like, his icing skills at his dad's bakery.
Ah, okay.
His parents' bakery that he's like, yeah, I've always been good, you know, putting icing on cakes and stuff.
I would have liked to have seen those cakes.
I know, right?
They must have been really great.
That's some Ace of Cakes shit right there.
Can we address the flame imagery? Katniss's dresses that are on fire during this movie at two different times. Cheesy or cheesy?
cheesy.
Yeah, cheesy.
Yeah, that was one of those things that even as I read it, I was like, well, that's never going to look as cool like as they want it to look. I mean, I was pretty like disappointed with the costumes, I think, overall. I think especially these sort of gowns and stuff. It's exactly how I thought it was going to be. I was like, this is not going to be done well. Yeah. And I was kind of like, okay, yeah, that's it.
That whole sequence where all the different tributes are like riding in these carriages in this great hall with all the people from the Capitol cheering them as they make their entrance. Like, it looked like something out of one of the Star Wars prequels. Something that was really green screened and phony looking. Adding fire to it just made it look so strange and weird.
Yeah, it felt kind of like uninspired. A lot of the stuff seemed like it was pulled from somewhere else.
So let's grade The Hunger Games? This is hard for you.
It is. It is hard for me. Because like you said, I do love the property. And I don't want to shit on the movie. Because I think it did a fine job of bringing it to life. They had a lot to work with. So I will say a B minus.
I'm actually going to go a little bit higher. I would give this movie just a flat B. So are you hungry for more Hunger Games in the next couple years?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this series catching fire.
And that's going to wrap up another episode of Scorncast. As always, you can check out PopScorn at scornpop.blogspot.com, where you can leave us comments, subscribe to our posts, and follow us on Twitter. And you can also email us at scornpop@gmail.com. You know, in the sequel, they should change the stakes of the Hunger Games to make them more relevant to a contemporary audience. Like, the winner gets to live, sure, but they also get $1 million, a new SUV, and the top 5 cosmetic surgeries from their bridalplasty wish list.